Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Yeah!
Or is that the last hour? Are we in the last hour or are we in this hour? I don't know.
We have limited yeahs today.
Are we on a yeah quota?
We have been for quite some time because someone doesn't care for him. and I take that seriously.
I like that we have approved wrestling sound bites.
You should have noticed after that was noted that I haven't played it very much since, and that was a couple months ago.
Yeah. All right. Let's get into it. Third hour of the Rob Brown Show starts now. Coming up in 40 minutes, Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast going to swing by. We'll talk some Carolina Panthers as the 53-man roster is set as of, Tuesday cut day, but yesterday, waiver wire day, the Panthers were number one on the waiver wire selection list. Picked up five players yesterday. Coming up with Rashad Beard, we'll tell you who they are and where they fit into that roster, and the five players that did not get cut on Tuesday but were let go after in order to make room for those waiver wire players. We'll get to that with Rashad Beard at 8:40, at 9:20, an hour and 20 minutes from right now, an hour and 18 minutes from right now. Fight Club with the great Milanzo. We will take a quick look back, I assume, at AEW All In live from Wembley Stadium last weekend. And even bigger than that, the Bash in Berlin taking place this Sunday. We also got an AEW pay-per-view, an NXT pay-per-view to jump into. So Fight Club, I'm not going to lie, I'm probably going to do an extended version, even if it is football day in America. Every day's wrestling day in America. So we'll get to that with Fight Club with the great Milanzo coming up at 9:20. Before we get to any of that, I have a question for you. As college football fans, that question is this: does the public perception of your team matter to you a little, a lot, not at all? What does the public perception of your team, does it matter to you? And here's the question, or here's the reason that I'm asking the question. There are two schools right now that I think are either suffering or have the potential to suffer a denigration of their public image. Those two schools are the Georgia Bulldogs and the Colorado Buffaloes. Now, we've already kind of gone down the path of why I feel that way about the Buffs. It is, I'm sorry to say, because yes, I am sincerely pulling for the guy because of Deion Sanders. There's a lot going on with Neon Deion right now that I think is, frankly, not a great look for the Colorado Buffaloes. You've got the whole thing going on surrounding the banning of a reporter, columnist. I want to keep it a buck about what we're talking about here. The columnist of the Denver Post, who was told you may cover the team, but you may not ask questions of it. And frankly, I think it's a bad look. All right? I think it's a bad look. And then there's Georgia. Now, why is Georgia up against the wall? Well, Georgia was already, I think, up against the wall a little bit, predominantly because of the issues that they have been having regarding their team's inability to drive vehicles safely, correctly, appropriately. Georgia has had a laundry list of issues, including an accident that is no joking or laughing matter that took the lives of a couple of people. And there really has been not much going on around it. Well, of course, the Georgia Bulldogs, as all of you know, because we've talked about it extensively this week, the Georgia Bulldogs are set to play the Clemson Tigers coming up this Saturday at noon, Atlanta, Georgia, at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. That's a big game. It's a top 15 game. The Clemson Tigers coming out in this game, and I think, to me, it is not so much for Clemson about the dub or the L. I mean, getting the dub would be absolutely enormous. To me, it's about, can you compete? Can you hang? Can you prove that you are worthy of being on the same football field as a team that is the not consensus, but very close number one team in America, a team that is more than likely, barring some sort of cataclysmic catastrophe, going to be a playoff team this year. Can you hang? Can you hang? That's it. I think that's the question mark. Well, the likelihood of Clemson hanging increased this week when we found out that the Georgia Bulldogs were going to be without, at least for certain, their number one running back on the depth chart. Georgia was going to be without Roderick Robinson. That's a big loss. That's their power back. They got Trevor Etienne, who is going to be RB1 in this game. Except for, wait a minute, we found out earlier this week that Trevor Etienne has to eat a mandatory one-game suspension for catching a DUI during the offseason. The assumption when this announcement was made was that Etienne would sit out the game against Clemson in week one. But I have since found out that there is a discussion that Trevor Etienne, the former Florida Gator turned Georgia Bulldog, they love that down in Gainesville, by the way, but the former Florida Gator that has turned into a Georgia Bulldog, he may play this game. They may elect to. Although, I am seeing, so that we're clear, I am seeing a couple of spots reporting out of Georgia right now. I am seeing a couple of spots reporting that the decision has been made that Trevor Etienne will not suit up for this game against Clemson. I can't confirm that yet. I have seen it from two accounts. Neither one of them seems to be a bona fide, genuine, legitimate spot. Here's what I can tell you. 3 days ago, Kirby Smart said that he was not going to commit to the status of Etienne. All right, it's not fantastic audio.
Yeah, and there's whispering going on.
Yeah, the dude holding the phone did kind of ruin that a little bit. Did kind of ruin it. Like, bro, you already are trying to record a guy who's like 120 yards away from you using a phone. Like, shut up, bro. Shut up. Like, you're not the important part here. Anyway, the point is, Kirby Smart was asked about the status of Trevor Etienne in this game, and his response was effectively not to respond. His response was to basically say, I'm not going to comment on the status of anybody right now, and that includes Trevor Etienne. Here's the question. If, and I don't know that he's going to or not, again, there are some smaller news outlets around the Georgia program that are reporting that Trevor Etienne will not suit up. But for the sake of this discussion, let's use the hypothetical that it's game day, it's noon in Atlanta, Georgia, and out of the tunnel comes a helmeted and padded Trevor Etienne, and he plays in this game. You know, Twitter becomes a cesspool every time something funny happens, right? It's why it's one of my favorite places on the internet, because people are hilarious. I would make the argument that an already, let's say, cloudy public opinion of the Georgia Bulldogs, not based on what they have accomplished as a football program, but based on the behavior of their players off of it, I would argue there is already a very clouded public perception of this football team. Would it get worse if they said, yes, Trevor Etienne is going to sit a game, but not this one? We need that guy. That guy's got to be out there. We need this guy. So he's going to sit a game, but he's going to sit a game we don't need him for. He's going to sit September 7th when Georgia beats Tennessee Tech by 100. That's when he's going to sit. Is that really a punishment? I think that's the question that would ask. I think the already clouded public perception of Georgia would be clouded further. I put that in comparison to though I could be wrong, maybe it's just me projecting my thoughts on everybody else, a rapidly deteriorating public perception of the University of Colorado. Does that matter? And I say that because we had a texter earlier in the show at the beginning of the second hour when I talked about it. And I brought up Dion, and he said, you know, Rob, it's funny. It's funny to me that every time a coach has a tough year, you're a guy that goes, you got to give him time. And I do want to be clear. I made it known when Dion showed up in year one, Dion forfeited that right. I'm not going to go pull the tape because I'm very lazy. But I'm also me. And I'm very remembery when it comes to the takes that I have. Mainly because you guys won't let me forget them sometimes. I said the day after Dion showed up in Boulder, Colorado, do you remember what the big controversy was there? He showed up dragging a load of Louis Vuitton luggage into the locker room, and he told current Buffaloes, y'all better start looking for new places to play in the portal, because I'm coming and I'm bringing my own luggage with me, and it's Louis. And he was not talking about his literal luggage. He was talking about players that were coming with him, his Jackson State players that were following him to Boulder, Colorado. And I said that day, do you know what Deion just did? In my opinion, my ever so humble yet frequently correct opinion, Deion Sanders just forfeited the 1 or 2 year grace window that most coaches get, because he doesn't have to go through the traditional clear out the old guys and bring in the news guys. He's already doing that. He's doing that year one. So he doesn't get the grace period that most every other coach that has jumped schools do, because he cleared those guys out with one rolling suitcase made by Louis Vuitton. So I look at that. And I think, and again, this is maybe me projecting, because most of the hosts that I have hosted with over the past year or so have all kind of said the same thing. I'm kind of tired of Dion. I'm kind of tired of the brash without any of the brass. I'm tired of the brash without any of the accomplishments. All right, that didn't rhyme. It was terrible, but you get what I was going for.
He's no different now than he's ever been.
I don't disagree.
This is how he's been since he started playing football. Anyone who thought he was going to be different, I mean, you know, so you either like him or you don't like him. In the end, it comes down to wins and losses. If he's able to win there, then suddenly some of the people who have a problem with how he acts will come around because their love of front runners. And others who haven't liked him since he stepped on the field are going to continue to hate him. It really comes down to if he's able to turn the program around the way he did with the last place he coached, it's going to be an amazing thing.
I agree with all of that. And again, for the record, I am genuinely pulling for Deion Sanders to succeed. I think college football will be better if he does. With that personality out front, I think college football is better. But here is my question for you as a fan. Do you care about the public perception of your school? Do you care about it? Do you care about how non-fans of your school feel about your school? My thought is you should. You should because I do think it has a direct impact on recruiting. I think it
do
has
you
an
think Georgia cares that their reputation is it's summer? Georgia players are going to be arrested because it's happened every year before Kirby Smart. It's happened since I've been here for over half my life. Summer comes, someone from Georgia is getting arrested for driving too fast or driving while drinking or other things. It happens every year. Does that stop people from coming to Georgia to play? No. Did it taint their national championship seasons? No. I don't think it matters.
So I don't. There is a couple of things here. You know what I feel like it's like? What I feel like it's like is every time somebody that, oh man, I'm going to get myself in trouble. Every time somebody super rich gets in trouble, there just seems to be a different set of rules, right? It just always seems to be probation when they break the law. It kind of has got that vibe to it. Georgia's going to keep being Georgia because at the end of the day, the rich are always going to get richer. What if I scaled that question down, great one? What if I said, you know, it's kind of irrelevant if you're Georgia, if you're Alabama, if you're, hell, Ohio State, if you're Michigan. I think this question might be more suitable for like a South Carolina. I don't know if it's fair to put this into the mix, but I think it is a more fair question to ask about Clemson nowadays, right? Clemson's not in the same dynastic mode that they were a couple of years ago. I think it's fair to ask it about Clemson. I think it's fair to ask it about schools that are on the second tier and down. Do you think that it has an impact on your school, A? And even if you do not, do you personally, as a fan, have a concern about the reputation of your school across the rest of the nation? I will give you an example.
By the way, you are definitely on Clemson message boards now.
Oh, for sure.
Because you did say they were second tier.
I mean, right now, are they not? Right? And that's not a bad thing.
I'm not the person to ask.
I would say if we're saying first tier, I'd say who's first tier right now? Georgia's first tier, Ohio State. I'd say Michigan is second tier as of this year. We'll find out if they can elevate themselves back up. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think there's only maybe three or four top tier schools and everybody else is playing their way up. So my question mark for you is, do you personally care about the public image of your school? Do you? I'll give you a school that clearly doesn't, Florida State. Florida State fans don't care anymore. I can tell that, right? If you're a Twitter person who is in the college football world that's on X, on social media, you are aware that about once a week during the college football season, FSU Twitter trends. Because fans on Twitter on the Florida State side of things, they're toxic, bro. They're toxic. I wish DJ Uiagalelei the best because if he really thought Clemson fans were toxic, he's going to be driven up a damn wall by Florida State fans if and when they turn on him. Florida State fans clearly do not care about their reputation amongst other fan bases. Do you? South Carolina fans, do you care about your reputation amongst other non-South Carolina or Clemson fan bases? Clemson fans, do you care? Because I got to tell you, Clemson fans, they might have one of the strongest reputations of fan and program of any team in the country that is not a national championship contender. Do you care about that? I've told you before, you shouldn't. But what if it's a Georgia or a Colorado mood? We'll talk more about this later. Rashad Beard in about 20 minutes. Fight Club at 9:20, all coming up on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Let's talk some NFL here for just a minute, as we do have a bit of, I'm going to say it qualifies as breaking news, and I'll tell you why here in just a minute. Jacoby Brissett will be the starting quarterback. Okay, that's fair. I did say breaking news.
And it's also a chance to mention our sponsor.
Sure is, the BetQL Network and our friends at BetQL. Be a better, be smarter. And beat the books with BetQL. Grab the BetQL app today and grab the edge when you're setting your daily fantasy lineups. BetQL is there to help. And don't forget to listen to Bet for the Cycle every Saturday from noon to four on the BetQL Network, hosted by former Major League Baseball player Rob Brown and other guy Cody Decker. Flip those, reverse them, you get the point. Saturday's noon to four, former Major League Baseball player Cody Decker and averagely handsome host Rob Brown. On the BetQL Network, as always, BetQL wants to help you beat the books. Jacoby Brissett gets the starting nod for the New England Patriots, and that's the right decision, dudes. That's the right decision for two reasons. The first reason is, and I've already made this clear, the New England Patriots are going to be the worst team in the National Football League this year. I think the New England Patriots are going to have a year remarkably similar, potentially worse than what the Carolina Panthers had last year, to be honest with you. I think it is going to be a big time struggle bus year for the Pats this year. They might win two games. We did this the other day. We looked down and I asked Zoe to take a look at the roster, the schedule with me for this year. At Cincinnati, back home for Seattle, at the Jets, at the Niners, back home for Miami, Houston, Jacksonville, and the Jets, back to back to back to back, then two roadies at Tennessee and Chicago, back home for the Chargers, on the road at Miami, back home for the Colts, then back to back roadies against Arizona and Buffalo, and they wrap it up with the Chargers and the Bills in week number 18. They do have the neutral site game in the middle of that back to back to back to back set of home games. One of those home games is in Europe, taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars. So 3 out of 4 weeks in a row, they will be at home. One of those weeks, they will be the home team, but it will be on the other side of the pond. I don't know why I said it like that. However, find me the win. Find me the win. Maybe Arizona, I think, was the only thing we agreed on, was maybe Arizona. And even that, Kyler Murray has got himself a make or break year this year, and I'm not convinced that he will either make or break. But if he does make, and Marvin Harrison Jr. is that dude this year, I don't even think that one is a granted. Maybe Jacksonville falls off the map again and they can snag one in week 7. I mean, they'll get a couple of wins somewhere, just because even the worst NFL teams, with very rare exception, are going to stumble butt first into a win somewhere. But the Pats are going to be bad this year. Here's why I bring it up. I don't think they should, and they clearly do not want to, feed Drake May to the Wolves. I don't know what Jordan Love is going to be this year. What I do know is that if you go look right now at the NFL MVP odds in the gambling market, Jordan Love has shorter odds to win the MVP than Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson is currently holding the MVP trophy. He just won it, and yet Jordan Love has shorter odds. Now, I don't agree with that. But what I do think is interesting is that here's Jordan Love, a guy that went up to Green Bay, sat behind Aaron Rodgers for a couple of years, got the opportunity to learn, to experience, to grow within the game. And I would say, although we've only seen it for one half of one season so far, I would say that Jordan Love has taken advantage of that opportunity. I have said, I don't know how many times, the right play is to sit your rookie. The right play is to give your rook some time to see the NFL, to experience the NFL, to learn the NFL. And I'm talking every aspect of it. I'm not just talking about the game itself. I'm talking about the travel. I am talking about the rest and rehab, the practice. I am talking about people in your back pocket trying to take advantage of you and your financial lucrativeness. I am talking about the women who will try to take advantage of you, yada, yada, yada. At this point, it's pretty obvious that sitting your quarterback's the right thing to do. Here's the problem. Not a lot of coaches have the opportunity. Could you imagine Matt Eberflus sitting Caleb Williams this year? Would it be better for Caleb Williams? I think the answer is yes. But Matt Eberflus doesn't have any job security. He can't do that. The Patriots do. Gerard Mayo's in his first year. They're going to give him 2 or 3 years to figure it out. He's got the opportunity to sit Drake May, and it's the right call. Last year, the Panthers. Frank Reich was in his first year. We all thought he had job security. Turns out he had less job security than any of us imagined. He could not sit Bryce Young. Do you think Bryce Young would have benefited from a year in the back pocket and not outside behind, no pocket provided by the offensive line? Of course he would have. But they didn't have a choice. One day the NFL is going to have to learn. You're going to have to eat a crap year while your rookie quarterback learns before you throw him out there to get racked in year one. We'll talk more about that later. We'll also talk Carolina Panthers with Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast next on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. God, tie ball game on a Thursday.
Yes.
Damn. Damn, I'm Falconsing over here. The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. It is also 8:40 on a Thursday morning. You know what that means? It means we take a little road trip right up the road to Charlotte, North Carolina, and we welcome in the guy that is the heavyweight champion of Panther Football Talk. He is Rashad Beard, host of the Panther Nation podcast, joins us every Thursday at 8:40 to talk a little Big Cat football. What's up, fella?
What's going on, guys? Roster set. Man, it's exciting times. The past couple days have been great. Exciting times in Carolina Panthers football. So let's talk about it.
I got to tell you, dude, before we do, because I'm like you, like, we do sports talk radio, but I'm kind of at, like, the talking's done, let's line them up and play kind of part of the year for me. But what is the mood we're setting in the Bro Cave right now, Rashad? We got the lights dimmed down, the neons are off. We got, what is that, like a salt lamp going on the counter behind? It feels to me like you are like, you're in a football mood right now, man.
Nah. So I redid my setup, got my camera, better camera now, so I'm a little bit more clear. Just switching things up a little bit, okay, man. So, yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready for football, man. Let's get it.
Look, it's a new era of Carolina Panther football. It's a new era of the Panther Nation podcast. Follow them on X at Panther Nation PC and on YouTube. Search and subscribe to the Panther Nation podcast. Let's jump in, big dog. Let's start with this one. I mean, obviously, the answer to this is TMJ, and we'll talk about him in just a minute. But what were the big surprises to you on cut day? Was there anybody that did not make the roster you expected to, or anybody that did make the roster you expected not to?
Well, you have to kind of separate the two, because the initial roster cuts were, they were what they were, and then there were some additional cuts yesterday to make room for some of the waiver claims that we made. So initially, in the initial roster, yes, TMJ getting cut was kind of surprising, but if you've been following, it's not so surprising, right? It was a decision to start to develop some younger talent, and time to move on from TMJ. This is a guy that it was the final year of his contract, and I guess they deemed it not necessary for him to be here. If you're not going to extend him, why, waste his time? Why waste our time? And so they cut him. I believe it was part of the plan the entire time was to boost his trade value. He had a great camp, a great preseason. We were trying to boost his value to flip him and trade him to another team. Unfortunately, that did not work. Couldn't find a partner. And so we had to let him go. He ends up signing with the 49ers, just like all the other former Carolina Panthers do. Salute to him. It's a good spot for him. Hopefully he'll end up turning around over there. I know they could have some wide receiver issues moving forward with Ayuk and the contract and all that stuff. So good spot for him to land. Other than that, man, a couple surprises. Jordan Matthews getting cut. He's a tight end, wide receiver, former wide receiver turned tight end. Is a great leader, great guy to have on the roster. I was surprised that he got cut. Everything else is pretty much chalk. No real surprises. Our guy Jalen Coker, who we've been cheering for, did get cut. Hopefully he gets back on the roster, on the practice squad, today if he clears waivers. So no real surprises outside of that.
Yeah, and we'll come to the TMJ thing, because I do have some thoughts on that I want to run by you. But I completely agree with Jordan Matthews, specifically because, and I know I've made the joke 100 times about this being Bryce Young's rookie season. No, it's not, but I'm treating it like it is. To me, when you have a young quarterback and you are trying to build up that confidence, and I do think especially early in the season, it is about confidence building, not just for Bryce Young, for everybody else in the offense, for Dave Canales as an offensive play caller and guru, et cetera, et cetera. I think it's about confidence building. And having a good pass-catching tight end, this is why I got excited about Hayden Hurst last year and disappointed when it didn't work out. Having a good pass-catching tight end, or a couple of them, is important. Ian Thomas is still on this depth chart, listed as two behind Tommy Tremble, JT Sanders, who had a couple of real bright spots in this preseason and was expected to kind of develop into a good pass-catching tight end. Is the tight end position good enough for you with the cut of Jordan Matthews?
Yeah, we did bring back Jordan Matthews on the practice squad, so he is still kind of technically a member of the Panthers, but obviously not on the 53-man roster. But yeah, I like it. I think that a lot of folks do not like Ian Thomas. He's survived 5-6 coaches, it seems. But he's a good blocker. And with the with the focus on the run game, you need those two blocking tight ends. You need to have a receiving threat as well. So I do agree with that. Jatavion Sanders is the future, right? So we need him developed, though. He's not a finished product. He has to become a better blocker. And so I like where the tight ends are. I'm not mad at it, but obviously Panther Nation is a bit upset with Ian Thomas still sticking around. But obviously he survived for a reason, and he's good at something. And so we just need to see it. It's just not he's not making the flashy plays. He's not the receiving threat. He's not a Travis Kelce type tight end. And so people aren't really happy with it. But you know, it is what it is there. I'm happy with the tight end position.
All right, let's talk about TMJ and get this one out of the way, because you just said something that was interesting. My thought when I saw that name come across, I had heard the trade rumors that Carolina was looking for a dance partner to make something happen, which is it's not uncommon, all right, for that to happen with guys that are cut. And then teams basically decide, like, it's worth the trade because we don't think this guy will pass waivers, or it's not worth the trade because we think there's a good chance we get him. TMJ is interesting because he did have an impressive offseason. Did he have an impressive offseason because maybe TMJ grew a little bit and we're gonna look at him in a year or two in San Francisco and go, oh man, like, why couldn't you have been that? Like when you break up with somebody and then they go date somebody else and all of a sudden they turn into that person you wanted them to be. Are we gonna see that? Or did TMJ have a good preseason because Dave Canales was utilizing the preseason to build him up? Is one of those two things more true than the other, or was it maybe a little bit of both?
I think it's a little bit of both. We've seen TMJ do some things around here. When Steve Wilks was the interim head coach, TMJ was solid. He was putting up numbers. And so we know he's capable, but that really isn't – you have to think about it from a team building standpoint, right? He's on the final year of his deal. Are you going to pay him and Deontay Johnson? Probably not. You drafted Xavier Leggett. You drafted Jonathan Mingo. You've invested in some undrafted free agents. I just don't see them. You have to make a decision. And so I do think there's going to be a part of us that are going to look back and be like, oh, man, we let one go. It always happens to Carolina, right? But that's not TMJ's fault. That's just a matter of he got lost in the shuffle. We keep changing coaches. That's just the nature of the game, right? So he's going to get another opportunity to prove himself in a more proven, settled system in San Francisco. He's going to insert himself, and I'm sure he's going to have a solid career. Unfortunately, it just didn't happen here, and so I do believe he's going to have a good redemption story out in San Francisco for sure.
All right, one more guy I want to ask you about, then we'll talk about some of the waiver wire pickups and where you think they fit in, and that is Mike Boone. The reason why is because, and I know you got Canales' number. I know you text him all the time. You're working that inside contact. I respect that. I'm not quite as close with him. Me and him just kind of golf buddies on the weekend. Mike Boone's the only guy that he like specifically brought out by name, right? He's like, I want this guy to clear waivers. We want him on the practice wire. I found this one interesting because with John Brooks, we know he's on the PUP list now, missing the first 4 weeks. We know Raheem Blackshear did not play a snap in the preseason because they're trying to get him right. The way Mike Boone was running during the preseason, 76 yards on 18 carries, kind of felt like maybe he could be a bit of a stopgap in that role of that third running back behind Hubbard and Sanders until you got Brooks back and Blackshear was healthy again. He ends up getting cut. Canales says, we want him back in the locker room. We want him on the practice squad. Did that one surprise you a little bit? Either the move to release Mike Boone or that Canales called his name out specifically as a guy he wanted back?
No, I think Mike Boone had a really good training camp and a really good preseason. So I'm not surprised that he was called out specifically by Canales. He did a really good job. I was a bit surprised that we only kept three running backs. I thought they would have maybe kept Mike Boone. But when that cut went out, it kind of signaled some other things, especially with the wide receivers. But he did end up coming back to the practice squad, so that's great. Raheem Blackshear is with the cuts of Amir Smith-Marset. Now is our only return, one of our only solid returners that we have for special teams. So I think, I don't know why we didn't see much of Blackshear. That was a little bit of a head scratcher in the preseason, but maybe they were just saving him. I don't know if he's nursing the injury. I don't know what's going on with Blackshear, but I do know he's a very good returner. And so I'm not surprised with that, but Mike Boone was very solid. He had a very good preseason, and I'm not surprised he's back on this roster and he's going to contribute in some way, shape, or form.
Yesterday, waiver wire day, Panthers obviously were right there in the mix for anybody they wanted off the waiver wire. Five players end up getting picked up after the initial round. You've got a couple of guys that have been added to the practice squad. We know Jack Plummer's there, Mason Brooks is there, Kenny Dyson is there. Was there anything yesterday in the waiver wire day that jumped off the page at you, or was it pretty much what you expected?
No, I was very surprised with the waiver wire pickups. I predicted two pickups maybe. We ended up picking up six guys, three of them cornerbacks, right? And so interesting, if you listen to Dave Canales talk about the cornerback room, this is what I love. I mean, this really got me going yesterday. When you talk about Canales and this new energy that's here in Carolina, is that, hey, man, we gave these guys, some guys, an opportunity to step up and grab that CB2 spot, right? And they just didn't do it. Right. So it's at that time, it's time for us to move on. And they ended up grabbing three guys and putting them on the 53-man roster. Keenan Isaac from Tampa Bay, Shamar Bartholomew, Tariq Castro Fields, who all had really good preseasons. So to me, this is signaling, hey, we're not settling. And he said it specifically, hey, we're looking across the league. We're stacking up our roster against the rest of the league. And it just wasn't good enough in the cornerback room. We challenged the guys. They didn't meet the challenge, so we went out there and got three. That is, it's refreshing to hear in Carolina that we're not just resting on our laurels and giving these guys spots just because they've been around for a long time. So that got me excited. We also got offensive guard Jared Kingston, very good player as well, coming from the 49ers. I'm excited about the waiver wire pickups. And the roster's not set by any means. I think they're still going to do some shuffling, but I like it. I love what we've been doing.
Slick Vic in the chat said, we done settling for mid, and I agree, man. Like, listen, I think it's important to point out, Rashad, and this is something I've been trying to spend the offseason doing, and there's been a lot of fans down here that are like, oh, Rob, you're just crapping all over the hopes and dreams. And not. To me, it's important to keep reality here. This roster is not there yet. There is still work that needs to be done, both this year and probably through the offseason next year, to fill in a couple of gaps. I think even with the additions, you still got a linebacker spot you need to figure out there. You're right. You bring in some cornerbacks. I don't know if any of them are going to be the guy, so you got to see if any of them stick, whatever. I think it's important to keep it realistic about what this roster is and where this team is, but I also don't think there's anything wrong with getting excited about the fact that this isn't a Matt Rule OOU situation where it's a bunch of guys that are hanging around because they're one of us and have been here for a minute. This is a team that said, look, we like you, Mike Boone, but if we don't feel you're going to contribute, we got to make the move and we got to move on. And I like that it does feel, and maybe this is where I've got some silver and blue glasses on, because, again, I need y'all to be good so I get paid more money. That's the ultimate prize for me. Ain't a Lombardi. It's a paycheck. I need y'all to be good. To me, maybe I'm being optimistic here, but this feels like the most proactive, at least in the last handful of years, that Carolina was. It felt like a flurry the last 2 days to get this roster right. And as somebody who looks at it through the eyes of, I support you because I want to make the money off of you, but like, objectively from the outside looking in, I'm pretty impressed with the way that the last 3 days have been handled by Dave Canales in the Panther front office.
Yeah, every move seems intentional, right? Even with the move of Jalen Coker, not releasing him on the first day, but releasing him on the second day to hope to give them a better opportunity to clear waivers, to get him back on the roster to develop him. That stuff, it makes sense. Every move is intentional, and it seems like it makes sense. Now, that being said, I'm not saying that every move is right, because we need to see the product on the field, right? I'm giving them an opportunity to show us, hey, we're moving in the right direction. So, but all of what I see right now, completely agree. It looks better. It to me, as a guy that's been watching the Panthers for the last 5 years, it hasn't been great. And we've been making some of the same dumb mistakes over and over and over again. And now it signals a little different change, right? We haven't seen Tepper around. He's been quiet. He stepped back, so to speak. And so now we're really letting our guys do their jobs. Dan Morgan's cooking. Canales is saying the right things. He's keeping it real with us. That's what I love about Canales. He's telling the truth, right? And so I love the direction of the Carolina Panthers right now. But we have to see it on the field. Week one, we got to see if it all makes sense, and then we can cheer on. But if they don't look great, we also have to hold them accountable. So we will do that.
I could go for another hour with Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast about what we're seeing. Instead, last question, 30 seconds. You think Dave Canales is a guy that like gets up and has like a kale smoothie and goes for a jog at breakfast? We were talking about this. So he totally is, right?
Absolutely. He is absolutely a sunrise run kind of guy. That's exactly who Canales is.
I think that's good, though. Right? Like that's a detailed guy. You don't want some dude like me that's waking up at like 1:30 in the afternoon and banging down a half a stick of cookie dough. I need a kale smoothie guy, and Canales feels like him.
He's definitely a kale smoothie kind of guy, man. That absolutely sums up Dave Knotson. I love it. The energy is great. As long as it keeps his energy going, I love it.
Next Thursday, when Rashad Beard joins the show, we got us a little bleep talking contest coming up because it's Saints hosting the Panthers in week one. We will break down and give you our thoughts on that game a week from right now. My man, good to have you, Big Dog. Appreciate it. Talk to you next week for a little week one preview, brother.
Absolutely. Let's get it. I'm excited.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Rashad Beard, Panther Nation Podcast. Follow them on X at Panther Nation PC. More importantly, head on over to the YouTube channel. Search and subscribe to the Panther Nation Podcast on YouTube. Rashad will join us next week for a week one preview. And now for a preview of the things you'll talk about to work today, here's Lonzo Sports Flash.
Exactly. Starting with the Atlanta Braves, who finished off a three-game sweep of the Minnesota Twins with a 5-1 win on the radio or and on the road last night. The win was Chris Sale's 15th of the year. Atlanta is now 6-1 dating back to August 23rd, within 5 games of Philadelphia in the division and 4 full games over New York in the wild card race. Kids, wear your glasses when you're supposed to. The Florida Gators got good news ahead of their game with the Miami Hurricanes this Saturday. Running back Montrell Johnson received clearance to play after having arthroscopic surgery on his left knee in the early portion of training camp. Johnson has played every game under Billy Napier, gaining 1,658 yards and scoring 15 touchdowns in 2 years. Tune in tomorrow night, 7 p.m., as the Burns Rebels head to Irmo to take on the Yellow Jackets. It's Burns versus Irmo right here on The Fan Upstate.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.